morning. My name's Vicky. I usually am leading worship with my husband Ben. So if you don't know me, hello. If you're new here, I'm new to preaching, so welcome. Like, we'll do this together, we'll be fine. Huge shout out to Lorraine and Andy. Can we just give them a round of applause? Because, like, they don't know it, but, like, Lorraine is literally the Pied Piper of children. Like, she came in, within about 2 seconds, they were all sat around the table. They'd done, like, 10 different activities. It was amazing. Thank you so much. You're a blessing to us. You really are. So I'm just going to open in prayer, and then we'll get cracking. So thank you, Lord, this morning that we can come here into your presence. Thank you that we get to worship you and sing of who you are. And Lord, as we dig deep into your word and we hopefully hear what you have to say, Lord, I just ask that you'll take the seeds of what I've written, and whatever is good, that it will land on fertile soil, Lord, and whatever isn't, that it will just fall by the wayside, Father. So I hope this morning that everyone will have a little bit of something to take away to inspire them, to encourage them, to provoke some thought, and to go a little bit deeper with you. Amen. So this morning, John gave me free rein to talk on whatever I wanted. So John's going to be regretting his life decisions a little bit later. But, he's doing kids. That's fine. He's not even listening. So John asked me to preach a while ago. He said that we'd be speaking in January. So to speak about something that really God connects me with. So I thought I would go with... I don't know if we got my PowerPoint. Is it there? Yeah. So I thought we would go with why. Because literally the soundtrack to my life, because I have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old, is, Mummy, why? 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 Why do I have to put my shoes on? Why do I have to wear socks with my shoes? Why do I have to put my hair up? Why do I have to do this? Why do I have to do that? So I thought that's what we'd go with. But being January, it's a great time to reflect, reassess where we're at personally, spiritually, where we're at in our work, our family, and our friendships. It's a time when we like to maybe start a new hobby. Has anyone started a new hobby? No? Has anyone set a new goal? Yeah? Has anyone tried to reinvent yourselves this year? Well, maybe you've joined a gym. No. maybe you're doing dry January. Anybody? Yeah? Cutting out meat for Veganuary, anybody? No, nobody wants that. Well, it's a time where we're searching for answers for the things that we want to change. So I thought that it would be good to speak into a bit of that, give us some time this morning to reflect on that and see what the Bible has to say about searching for answers to the questions that we have. So every year, Google creates a video of the most searched for terms from the previous year. And highlights some of the year and what's gone on. It gives us a time to reflect and review. So I'm going to play that video a little bit later again. I hope it's going to play. If not, we'll just move past it. But I thought that was a good starting point for this kind of why question. And the title to my sermon is But God, Searching for Answers. So if you are a writer and you like taking notes, then the title is But God, Searching for Answers. So... really, we have loads and loads of questions in our lives. And I know I kind of joke and I jest that my life consists of lots of why questions. But I'm sure that each of us are sat here with equally lots of why questions. You know, why did I lose my job? Why is the cost of living so high? Why do my family not speak to me? Why is my friend so difficult? Why did this terrible thing happen to me? Why did I get cancer? Why did I hurt my back? All of those questions that really this morning I want to unpack and suggest that God's okay with those questions. And God's okay with the difficulty of those questions, not just like, God, why is the heating not on? Because I'm really cold. But John does assure me that the heating is turned on. So by the end of the sermon, by the time Phil's got the PowerPoint loaded, we might be a little bit warmer. We should have just done a little bit of a HIIT class. While we waited for the PowerPoint. But God's okay with those questions, and we're going to look through Scripture today, and we're going to land on, hopefully by the end, some places where it shows us in Scripture that it's not just the easy questions that God wants us to ask him, but it's our open and honest, heartfelt questions that he's not comfortable with and that we're not comfortable with, and that, that's all okay. So, have you got the video, Phil? Okay, so do you want to play the video and then have a chance to, carry on?
I Googled you today just to see what pops up.
Did you not know who I was before?
No.
Y'all, Kendrick dropped again. He dropped again. Didn't I say we're witnessing greatness right now?
This record is fire.
Oh my God.
Shohei Ohtani starts the 50-50 club.
Country music's year of being the it genre has officially reached a fever pitch.
We are at Tiny Desk, which is kind of blowing my mind right now.
I don't know about nobody else, but I'm starting to like country music.
Can I get a large Dr. Pepper with pickles?
Crazy. This is so good.
It's undeniable. Mudang is a star.
Mudang. Mudang.
Mudang. Mudang.
I'm your favorite hippo's favorite hippo.
Sha'Carri Richardson! Sha'Carri's got it coming!
Caitlin Clark, welcome to the WNBA.
Clark, with fans everywhere.
I want to grow up to be like Caitlin Clark.
Lamine Yamal, welcome to the world stage.
Hello, I'm Anxiety. Where can I put my stuff?
My phone, 5 years ago. Maybe I'll never sing again.
She sounds amazing.
Simone called it the redemption tour, but she had absolutely nothing to prove to anyone else. A performance for the ages from Steph Curry.
This is espresso. We hope you love it, Coachella.
It's our first time headlining a UK festival.
Oh my gosh, it's just so amazing.
Oh my God, it's so beautiful.
There's an aurora borealis in Georgia right now.
2024 will be the biggest global election year in history.
We have successfully caught the super happy booster.
Artificial intelligence to help detect types of breast cancer faster.
The southeastern United States reeling in the aftermath of Hurricane Helene.
I'm gonna go see if I can help this lady out a little bit more, you guys.
Gives us a stronger sense of what we really should be focusing on. That's each other.
Elmo wrote, Elmo's just checking in. How's everybody doing?
I was in tears of the individuals being vulnerable.
Why do we have to sell our house?
Yay, he took out the sign.
What make my mama proud? It's gonna cause a scene. She sees her baby girl. I know she's gonna scream.
It takes 10 years to be an overnight success.
The biggest crowd in festival history.
Who is this kid and where did he come from?
It's a home run!
Oh my God! I am crying at Stephen the Bobblehead guy.
Toby inspired me to be a better American, a better human.
One day, the sun will set on my time here.
Deep in most of us is a potential for greatness, or the potential to inspire greatness.
This is for every little native kid out there who has a dream, who is seeing themselves represented.
You're gonna live the champion!
For the ones we didn't know before, and now called by their first names, you made us happy. You made us feel alive. The world needed these emotions so much. These feelings of hope, inspiration, and love will remain.
Thanks, Phil. So my question is, what are you searching for today? Lots of people that I speak to who are Christians often say that they became a Christian because they felt like something was missing and that God was the answer to that missing piece. Or maybe that they'd tried out the world and they'd found it wanting. Well, today I want to introduce you to a section of the Bible called the Wisdom Books. If you want to know the answer to some of these tough life questions, then they can all be found here. So the wisdom books are a genre of writing that focuses on the existential questions about God, humanity, creation, the nature of evil and suffering. Wisdom literature can take the form of short, memorable insights, such as the book of Proverbs, or a dialogue, such as the book of Job, where Job, his friends, and God engage in a conversation, and that conversation teaches and enlightens the reader. In the wisdom books, we find people like us who still grapple with those same issues and those same problems that we do here in 2025. Unlike the books before them, we really get to know the people as individuals. And we learn and understand their questions and their circumstances. And these books show us that God wants us to sit with us in the myriad of questions and prayers. He wants to sit with us in our crises of faith as well as our answers to prayer. We're going to look more closely at Ecclesiastes. I did touch on it very briefly last time I spoke, but we're going to look at it in a little bit more detail, which is a book written by King Solomon that I like to think of as his quarter-life crisis. I say this because when I was 25, I reached a point in my life where I felt like I had a quarter-life crisis. I felt like all my preconceived ideas, all my dreams, hopes, ambitions, everything like that, just got turned on their head, and I felt like I was having to discover and live life through a new lens. And I found out that things that I thought and believed as a child weren't necessarily true in my adult world. Many of you probably relate to this, although it happens for all of us at a different time. Your quarter life crisis might not be mine. Your midlife crisis might not be mine. But it's a point where we go from having this childhood mindset to an adult mindset. And we speak about it in scripture, the difference between having milk and having something of substance. So this is where we are in Ecclesiastes. It's where Solomon realizes that everything that he thought to be true about the world, in fact, isn't, and it's hevel or meaningless. I did expand on that phrase hevel last time. So if you want to go back and catch up on that, you're more than welcome. So I spent some time searching and praying, and I landed on a piece of scripture that predicts amazingly what might happen to each of us in 2025. Yeah, I know. Exciting. Little drum roll, please. So in Ecclesiastes 3, did we get the PowerPoint or am I abandoning? No, that's fine. In Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1 to 8, join me in your Bible if you want, because it's not gonna do it. But it says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. It's crazy, right? That someone all those thousands of years ago would know exactly what life would be like here in 2025. That some of those really speak quite profoundly. And that he would know that, and that he wrote that in scripture, and it's been carried through all those thousands of years. Well, I think that's quite wise. So who was this guy Solomon that wrote it, and what made him so wise? Well, King Solomon was the son of King David. Hopefully we all know King David, but he was the shepherd boy who had a heart for worshiping God and who ultimately became the king of Israel. His son Solomon was born from the affair that David had with Bathsheba. And the whole family in the end, at the end of 2 Samuel, basically becomes a little bit like a Game of Thrones scenario. If you haven't read it, I highly recommend that you do. But it ends up with Solomon, who's the youngest, and you might wonder how the youngest ultimately became king of Israel. Well, as David was dying, Bathsheba got David to pronounce his youngest son, so not the first son that David had with Bathsheba, but Bathsheba's youngest son. Bathsheba wasn't even his first wife. So we're really a long way away from him being the actual king. Bathsheba got David to pronounce her youngest son, Solomon, the king, and later went on to kill his eldest brother in order to cement his claim to the throne. So it really is a Netflix thriller played out there in 1 Kings, if you do fancy a read. But Solomon, having been born out of this broken relationship, was prophesied by God to build the first temple and will ultimately become part of the line through which the Messiah Jesus is born. He was known as the wisest and the wealthiest man ever to live, as well as writing much of the wisdom books, and he had over 1,000 wives. I know Ben would say that one wife is hard enough, let alone 1,000. But I guess when you're king, no one's really allowed to disagree with you. You know, you're just like the pretty young thing that sits next to him. So he chooses a different one every day to hang out with. So, you know, 1,000, that's like more than, you only really see them like once every couple of years. So, you know, if you only saw me once every couple of years, you'd get on really well with me. So what made him so wise? Well, he says in scripture that basically he tried it all in Ecclesiastes. He tried, it's described as everything under the sun. And wisdom comes from two things. It comes from either our lived experiences or from learning from the experiences of others. And he realized that having tried it all, that life flowed in these seasons, as we learned in Ecclesiastes 3, as predetermined by God, and that only Christ can provide the ultimate satisfaction. Now, I hope that no one's planning on killing anyone in 2025. If you do, don't speak to me. Speak to John. He's much better with these things than I am. But we can see in Scripture that Solomon beautifully demonstrates this rawness of life. The light and the dark that we all experience in our everyday lives, that is what we have to look forward to in 2025. I'm not stood here saying your 2025 is going to look pretty. It's going to be raw, and it's going to be light and dark. But without that darkness, the light doesn't seem quite so bright. So we continue in Ecclesiastes with Solomon looking for these answers. It says in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 25, "So I turned my mind to understand, to investigate and search out wisdom and the scheme of things, and to understand the stupidity of weakness and wickedness and the madness of folly." I wonder if Solomon had access to Google today, what his search history would have looked like. Probably, what's the purpose of life? What do we gain from our work? Why do the righteous suffer? How can God be in control when there's so much death, famine, and hatred? Well, he spent his life in the pursuit of answers, in the pursuit of meaning, trying to understand and gain more wisdom. Yet even he landed on this truth in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 28. "While I was still searching, but not finding, I found but one upright man among 1,000, but not one upright woman among them all." So who is this man, I asked. Why was there no woman? Well, I did a little digging, and it should come as no surprise to you that this scripture is a reflection of Adam and Eve. The original sin and fall have meant that there is not one woman, nor one man since, who would walk the earth and be completely upright. Upright is pure, honest, obedient, good, and blameless. Unless, can any of you think of one? Jesus. So he goes on to say that this only have I found, that God created mankind upright, but they have gone in search of many schemes. They've gone in search of many answers. Last week we heard that God created man in his image, that we are the living reflection of who God is. But it's only God who's ultimately upright. It was only Jesus who walked on this earth as the true reflection of the holy God. And with Jesus being that living embodiment and the only upright man. So what are these schemes that we've gone in search of? What are the answers to those questions? Well, the Bible is full of questions. And it's these questions that open the door to a life of prayer. Yet often we're scared or put off bringing those questions to God through a fear that our openness and honesty might somehow impact our relationship with him. But it says in Psalm 139, "You have searched me, O Lord, and you know me." So really, he already knows the questions before you've even asked them. And he's already got a handful of answers to give you. He's just waiting for you to be honest enough. So I've pulled out some questions from Scripture, and they really do reflect the myriad and complexity of humanity. We're all constantly searching and constantly seeking for the answers of life. But are we looking in the right place? Well, all too often, my default is to ask a friend, you know, what do you think about this? What should I do about this situation? This has happened. I don't know where to go. Or I'll ask my husband. Maybe I do ask Google for the answers. My parents have a tendency to say that, Ben, he Googled it. Like somehow he controls the internet. Or maybe I look to role models, or maybe I look to social media or celebrities for how I should be living my life. All of that is reflected in these questions. So I've got a few here, but did God really say? It's the first question ever asked in the Bible. Second question, am I my brother's keeper? When Cain killed Abel. How long will you waver between two opinions? I feel like someone needs to ask me that question. Are you here for such a time as this? Yeah, found in Esther. Who can make the clean out of the unclean? If a man dies, will he live again? We all ponder with that one. How can a young person keep their way pure? What is truth? What shall I do then with Jesus? Said Pontius Pilate. If God is for us, who can be against us? My God, why have you forsaken me? I find myself asking that one. Says, what must I do to be saved? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Why are you so afraid? Do you believe that I am able to do this? And why do you say I am? Sorry, who do you say I am? We should be searching the Bible for answers to the questions. But we have to do more than that. Jesus says in John 5, 39 to 40, that we should ultimately be coming to him for the answers. Not just the Bible. We shouldn't be intellectually searching the scriptures for our answers. But it's that relationship with Jesus that he's interested in. It says in Matthew 7, 7, I hope this one's quite familiar, Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. I encourage you, come to the Lord in prayer. Ask him the questions that are on your heart. Seek the answers that you're looking for. And like a loving parent, the door will be opened to you to find what you're looking for. But I've got a spoiler alert. The chances are that the answer is always the same. The answer is Jesus. Jesus is the answer to all of your questions. He's the answer to our brokenness, our weakness. He's our joy and our salvation. He's the answer to what food to buy at the shops. He's the answer to which school to send your child to. He's the answer to which university is the right one for you. He's the answer to who you should marry, when or if you should have children, what job you should apply for, or when you should retire. It says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these will be added to you. So coming back to that video that I played at the beginning, I wanted to give us some space and some time to decompress. You don't want to listen to me for hours. And just reflect on the last year and also the year to come with God. So I've got three questions for you to answer. Pro tip, if you've got a phone, open up your calendar app, go to the 31st of December, make an appointment and write down the answer to these questions so that when you get there on the 31st of December, you can see all that God's done through this year and how you've got on. So if you want to write them down or write them on your phone or, you know, think of them, that's fine. But my three questions are, what were your breakout moments of 2024? So if you had a highlight reel for 2024, what would those breakout moments be? They could be positive or negative. What questions has life left you searching for? So what have you been through the past year that's left you searching for some answers? And where do you want to see breakthrough in 2025? The video that I played, there were two things that I wanted to kind of pull out from that. One was, it takes 10 years to be an overnight success. Like, I just heard that and I was like, yeah, you know, everyone expects it like right now. But 10 years for someone to look on your story and be like, they just came out of nowhere. And another one was, who is that kid? You know, I can imagine that when Jesus sat in the temple at the age of what, 11, 12, and he went missing and his parents spent ages searching for him. And they eventually found him and Mary's there and he's like, Jesus, me and your dad spent ages searching for you. Where did you go? And he was like, you should have known I was in my father's house. I can imagine that all of those people sat in the synagogue when Jesus is there opening the scripture and just explaining it to them. That, like, some of these children, like, imagine one of them coming up here and just explaining what scripture was, who God is, the real meaning of life. They're going to stand there and go, who is that? Who is that kid? Where did he come from? And then he just disappears back off to his mum for a snack. And the last one, which kind of connected with me the most, if I had to, you know, sit and answer these questions, what were my breakout moments of 2024? I had a son. His name's James. He's about to become one. I don't quite know how that happened. He's being very... Oh, where is he? Oh, he's over there somewhere. Oh, he's having cuddles with Andy, who's the church granddad. He just looks after everybody's kids. So my breakout moment of 2024 was having a son, having James. But really the bit of the video that connects with me most is, hi, I'm anxiety. Where can I put my stuff? Yeah, I've never known anxiety like it until 2024. And that's left me with lots of questions. That's left me searching for lots of answers. But where do I want to see myself? Where are my breakout moments in 2025? I'd like to stand here this time next year and say, I'm less anxious than I was in 2024. I'm trusting God for more. So I'm going to give you some space in a minute to answer those three questions. I will recap them just so that you can remember them. But we can often feel that things like this need more time than we can give this morning. Or in your head, you might be sat there saying like, oh, I just don't have time to do it now. Or I just can't think right now. I've got other things to think about. I'll do it later. It's really important, Vicky. I fully appreciate it. It's a great thing to do. But I need to give you a proper answer. So I'm going to think about it. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to put together my nice little answer. And then I'll type it onto my phone. And then I'll save it for you. But God doesn't want your nice, articulate, well-written out answer. He wants your raw, honest truth. So I encourage you to just write what comes to mind and offer it to him as it is. Job says in chapter 7, verse 11, therefore I will not restrain my mouth. I will speak in anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. And God says in Isaiah 1, verse 18, in the message it says, come now, sit down, let's argue this out. Or in the Passion version, it says, it's written, come now, let us deliberate over the next steps to take together. Yahweh promises you over and over, though your sins stain you like scarlet, I will whiten them like a bright new fallen snow. Even though they are deep red like crimson, they will be made white like wool. If you have a willing heart to let me help you, and if you will obey me, you will feast on the blessings of an abundant harvest. So if we sit down with him, if we take those next steps together, we trust him, he'll give us that abundant harvest. But I can't just leave it there. It says, but if you're stubborn and refuse to obey, the sword will eat you instead. The mouth of Yahweh has spoken. Can't have it both ways. We can't just sit on the fence. We've got to be either entirely raw and honest with God, or just don't bother, because he just wants that desperate relationship with us where we're so open and honest, more open and honest than we are with anybody else in our life. There's a worship song by Passion. It's called Bigger Than I Thought You Were. I'm going to get Victor to play it in a minute while we answer these questions. But it says, the chorus, it literally gives me goosebumps every time I hear it, and we will play it. But the lyrics go, so I throw all my cares before you. My doubts and fears don't scare you. You're bigger than I thought you were. You're bigger than I thought. So I stop all negotiations with the God of all creation, because you're bigger than I thought. So we're going to play it. And this morning, let's stop those negotiations together. Break down the barrier and step into the freedom of relationship that Christ has died for. So come now, sit down. Let's deliberate over those next steps to take together. So I'll recap and then we'll play the song. But the three questions are, what were your breakout moments of 2024? You can do this individually, or you're welcome to get into groups if you want. What questions has life left you searching for answers for? And where do you want to see breakthrough in 2025? Has everyone got those?